Right? I love a good plant metaphor or a good plant analogy, however you want to say it, because there's such a parallel between plant growth and our own spiritual growth. And I just love it. And I mean, look at the parables of Jesus. So many of them have to do with plants. You know, he talks about wheat stalks and vines and fig trees. So I really want to continue that. So today we're going to talk about what feeds the root, feeds the fruit. How many of you are gardeners in the room or want to be gardeners or you have planted anything in your life? Then you know how important it is to protect the roots, right? How important it is to start from the beginning of the life process and make sure that you're feeding the roots properly so they can grow properly. Roots, the deeper they grow, you know, they could determine the overall health of the plant, you know, the life of the plant, the fruit that it's produced. But it also, the deeper the root, the more stable the plant is to sustain different things in life, you know, to weather the storm. So you want to grow your roots as deep as possible. What came first, the root or the fruit? Now, this is an obvious play on the what came first, the chicken or the egg. Okay, so not so obvious. As Pastor knows, sometimes with sermon humor, it's hit or miss sometimes. So, just kidding, Pastor's hilarious. So what came first, the root or the fruit? I'm going to read from Luke chapter 6, and this is from the Passion Translation. You'll never find choice fruit hanging on a bad, unhealthy tree. And rotten fruit doesn't hang on a good, healthy tree. Every tree will be revealed by the quality of fruit that it produces. Figs or grapes will never be picked off thorn trees. People are known in the same way. Out of the virtue stored in their hearts, good and upright people will produce good fruit. But out of the evil hidden in their hearts, evil ones will produce what is evil. For the overflow of what has been stored in your heart will be seen by your fruit and be heard by your words. What good does it do for you to say that I am your Lord and Master if what I teach you is not put into practice? Growing up in the church, and if you've grown up in the church, you have probably gone through something similar. It's easy to get in kind of a rut, and it's easy to kind of get in this phase of how do you look on the outside? You know? We go through, like, it's better to ask for permission better to ask for forgiveness than permission. We tend to only focus on the pruning process. And if you've grown plants, you know that pruning is a part of the process, but it's not the first step in the process, or is it even the most important step of the process? Protecting the root system is. And like I was saying, growing up in the church, you know, depending on what church you went to, things like that, if you weren't constantly growing, then you can get in a rut, you know, and it became easier to look the part instead of actually putting in the work to grow a healthy plant and produce healthy fruit. We think sometimes that righteous living is just cutting away the bad when it pops up. And we think pruning is the only answer to a righteous life. But a healthy, righteous life starts with what's under the ground. It starts with what you're feeding on. If all you're doing is pruning, or if all you're doing is walking through life and you're waiting for stuff to pop up so, you know, somebody can point it out and you say, oh, I'll get rid of that. But you're never putting in the time to grow healthy fruit, then all you're going to produce is bad fruit. And eventually you're going to cut away everything until you look like a Charlie Brown Christmas tree, right? Nobody wants their spiritual life to look like a Charlie Brown Christmas tree. All right, so this next analogy is for the fellas. We're going to talk about beard growth. And I saved this just for this. I'm no stranger to a healthy, luscious, beautiful, glorious beard, obviously. I mean, at any given moment, in any given room I walk into, I'm at least the second best beard in the room, which I don't see Scott Cleaver here, so I'm number one today. Woo! So, and if you know me at all, you know that I pretty much grow it out every year, and then I cut it off when it's hot, if it'll ever get hot. So I've done a lot of research through the years and, you know, tips to having it look healthier, you know, last longer, be stronger. And the key is moisture, conditioning. So that's why they sell all this stuff, these oils and these things you can put in your beard. Now, upon researching that, I discovered the number one way to moisturize the beard is from within. It's having healthy skin. So how much water am I drinking? Things like that. How many nutrients am I giving so my skin can be healthy, therefore my hair will grow? Because what feeds the roots feeds the fruits. And ladies, you can ask your hairdresser. Healthy hair starts with a healthy scalp, right? It's not about avoiding sin. It's about walking in righteousness. If you're going through life and you're just trying to avoid sin, then you're focusing on the sin. And you're not walking in righteousness. When you walk in righteousness, you're following the footsteps of Jesus. You're not looking to the left. You're not looking to the right. You're focusing on righteousness because you are, in fact, righteous now. It works from the inside out, not the outside in. When you are dedicated to growing the right way and you want to grow from the inside out and you're saying, you know, God, I only want to go where the Father goes. You know, I only want to say what the Father wants to say. When you're doing it the right way, it makes you a disciple. But when you're trying to grow from the outside in and you're more concerned about what you look like, then it makes you more of a Pharisee. And in modern terms, that makes you a hypocrite. Righteousness starts with the roots. What or who are you rooted in? What's in the soil? In Jeremiah it says, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They're like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. What's the point of our fruit as believers? It's not just for us. It's for others, right? It's to benefit others. It's how we impact the world around us. And if you're passing out unhealthy fruit, you're giving people unhealthy seeds. You're planting unhealthy seeds in others because your fruit is tainted. If you're rooted in toxicity, your fruit will be unsafe to eat. Don't hand me no rotten apple. So my next illustration is about hydrangeas, and I'm going to put a picture on the screen of a couple of hydrangeas that are planted next to each other, the same species of hydrangea. Is anybody aware or familiar with hydrangeas? Do you have a hydrangea? Yeah. They just look so beautiful, don't they? I love this. It's like my favorite flower. Hydrangeas change color, except for the white ones, based on the pH level of their soil. The more alkaline the soil, the pinker the flowers. To make pink hydrangeas turn blue, or to keep your blue ones from turning pink, increase the acidity of the soil. So you're saying those are the same plant, and all I had to do was put something differently in the soil for that plant to feed on to get that different result, right? Are you getting that? That's a modern day parable right there. I have this fruit and I want this fruit, so what do? I feed this fruit differently. Because what feeds the roots feeds the fruit, right? If you're growing a particular type and you want to grow a different type, how do you get from point A to point B? You feed differently. The gardener didn't take a bucket of paint and splash it on the new one to cover it up and say, hey, look at my new pink flowers over here. No, he wanted a different result, so he fed differently and got the result he wanted. So my question to you is, what are you wanting in your growth? Because it starts with you. It starts with you wanting to grow. So what are you wanting in your spiritual growth? Are you wanting good, healthy, solid fruit to give to the world? Are you wanting tainted fruit? And some people will say, man, I want to grow blue flowers, but all I have are pink flowers. And, you know, pink keeps sprouting up. Maybe it's just in my nature. I can't stop doing this one thing that I don't want to do anymore. Maybe it's just in my nature to sin. If you are a believer in Christ, you do not have a sin nature any longer. Your sin nature was nailed to the cross with Jesus. Now, you may suffer from sin habits that you had from your previous nature, but you don't have a sin nature any longer. So why are you feeding yourself things that are going to make it harder for you to stop your sin habits? What are you putting in your roots? Why do you keep feeding yourself things that are going to make your flowers stay pink, basically? So we all know the story of the prodigal son, right? I mean, it's only one of the most well-known stories in history. You know, you don't have to even be a Christian to know that story. Of course, I don't know how you can't be and know that story, because it's, woo. Anyway, so just a brief rundown. Son left the father's house. He wanted to do his own thing. He wanted to party, live it up. Took his inheritance with him, his best clothes. He was going to have a good old time. So he ends up blowing all that, ends up naked, sleeping with the pigs, eating from the pig trough. And he's sitting there, and he wakes up, and he's like, man, I just want to be in my daddy's house again. I don't even care. I'll sleep with, you know, in the servants' quarters. I'll work the fields. I just want to go be with my dad because I've messed up. I don't have to even, you know, receive any money or new clothes. I'll just work for everything, right? So he comes home, and we all know how the story ends. Dad scoops him up, treats him like he never left, gives him a ring, basically gives him an inheritance back. So he has a second inheritance, right? New clothes, he has the big feast. He's eating so good, like Thanksgiving dinner every day. Now picture this. It's 3 weeks after the prodigal returns home, okay? And he's sitting at the dinner table, and there's still a feast. Because who knows, when you're at mommy and daddy's house, you're gonna eat good every night, right? So he's sitting there, and he's looking at the spread, and he's just looking around. And he's like, Dad, I love the meal that you made tonight. It's all my favorite foods. But I just got a craving for something else tonight. I really got a hankering for pig trough. And look, I'm just going to go. I'll be back in the morning. I won't even take my inheritance. I'll just take a $20 bill to pay the camel driver. That's it. But I got a hankering for pig trough. I'll be back in the morning. We can have breakfast. How stupid does that sound? Right? But we do it every day when we choose to eat from the tree of the world instead of the goodness of God. When we choose to feed ourselves the junk that we feed ourselves, we're essentially eating pig slop, right? Whenever we have this meal prepared before us, we can eat from the table anytime we want to. What are you watching? What are you listening to? Who are you running with? Who are you hanging out with? If you have a problem with thinking about sex and in an unhealthy way, why are you watching the trash that you're watching? Turn off the Game of Thrones. Wait, I went there. And fellas, you're like, oh, it doesn't have any nudity in it. It doesn't have all this. It doesn't have to have nudity in it to get your mind going. You know your triggers. You know yourself better than anybody. What are you watching? What's the music you're listening to? If you're trying to stop cussing, then why are you listening to the music that's like F this, F that? Because it's not easy to stop cussing. And if you keep filling your mind with cuss words, that's what's going to come to mind. That's the fruit you're going to bear. And maybe your music is not bad. Doesn't have the cussing, doesn't have the sex, doesn't have the drinking and drugs. But if you have problems keeping your emotions in check, then why are you filling your mind with music that's full of melancholy and sadness? You should be listening to songs of victory, because that's who we are. Songs of deliverance. You know, we take music lightly. But we all know the power of music. I mean, a good song on the radio will instantly take you back to high school. You smelling locker rooms and all that stuff. But it plays on all your senses, right? It's no coincidence that we start our services with the worship music, because it gets your mind right. It puts your perspective where it needs to be. It's also no coincidence that before Lucifer fell from heaven, he was in charge of all music. He knows what he's doing. So we don't need to take it lightly. What are you listening to? Because what feeds your root feeds your fruit. Now, I've heard it said before that, you know, grow where you're planted. I don't know if you've heard that saying before. Pretty good saying, right? I feel like if you've ever seen plants, though, no matter where they're planted, they're going to try to grow. They're going to try to grab root with whatever they're put in, right? And we work in that same way. Whatever environment you are constantly in and putting yourself in and you're allowing to feed you, you're going to take root. You're going to try to take root. How many of you love to clean your gutters? I'm just kidding. We got one. All right. I hate it. If anybody's been to my house, you have seen it, and I'm sorry. I neglect my gutters so bad to the point that I'll have like trees growing out of my gutters. And it's just stuff that has fallen from the other tree and fallen into it, and it has taken root. How many knows the stuff that's in the gutters is pretty gross? Like sludge and just nastiness, right? But it shows how wherever you were planted, you were going to try to grow. Now, the little tree that's in the gutter, I mean, the gutter is small, so it can't grow deep, and it's not packed in, so it's not going to withstand much, so it's an easy pull, you know? But wherever you plant yourself, that's you're going to try to grow. So be aware of the environments you put yourself in. In Psalms, it says, he will be standing firm like a tree planted by God's design, deeply rooted by the brooks of bliss, bearing fruit in every season of your life. Who's in your garden? Who's planted next to you? I'm going to talk about relationships. In Colossians, it says, in the same way you received Jesus our Lord and Messiah by faith, continue your journey of faith, progressing further into your union with him. Your spiritual roots go deeply into his life as you are continually infused with strength, encouraged in every way. For you are established in the faith you have absorbed and enriched by your devotion to him. Beware that no one distracts you or intimidates you in their attempt to lead you away from Christ's fullness by pretending to be full of wisdom when they're filled with endless arguments of human logic. For they operate with humanistic and clouded judgments based on the mindset of this world system and not the anointed truths of the anointed one. Relationships. A healthy relationship won't feed off of your roots. It's going to feed off of your fruits. If you've ever, you know, mess with your garden, you have to pull weeds, and that's one of the least favorite parts to do. But it's necessary because the weeds choke out the life of the healthy plant that you want. It steals nutrients from the roots and just chokes it out. So just like an unhealthy relationship, it's gonna feed off of your roots. It's gonna try to steal the nutrients from you instead of giving you fruit you need in different seasons. I've heard it said before that you're the average of the five closest people in your life, or you're the average of the five people you hang out with the most or spend the most time with. Now, I don't know the facts or the stats behind that, but it's definitely food for thought. I mean, picture your closest friends, your closest confidants. Chances are you have a lot in common, right? Same music, same movies. Kids may go to the same school. You may go to the same church. Are those people that you're closest to, are they pouring into your life? Are they feeding you what you need when you spend time with them? When I hang out with someone, I want someone that is going to push me to grow. That's going to call me out on my mess because they want what's best for me, just like I want what's best for them. They see the gold, the potential in me, just like I do in them. So I want someone that will do that. That's not going to be negative. That's not going to feed off my roots. Because our fruit is for others, right? So when I'm feeling down, if I'm lacking in an area, I want someone that's going to help and be like, look, this is what Jesus does for me in these moments. That's what I want in my life. I want someone I can look and say, hey, I like the fruit that person's bearing and I want that. So who are you surrounding yourself? What kind of counsel are you giving yourself? Now, Christians, we have to stop making growth just an option in our life. Too often we set growth aside. You know, we have I'm going through a rough patch. So we get all numb and don't want to do anything and lethargic in our spiritual growth. And that's not the way it should be. You should be growing in every season of your life. Your season doesn't determine your growth, it determines your bloom. Think of your favorite tree. Sorry, I have a lot of favorite plants. Every species, pretty much. Or if you don't have a favorite tree, think of like a tree in your yard or the neighbor's yard, or maybe you pass it on the way to work every day. Now picture that tree in every season. Now in Michigan, we know there's just two. So in the warm months, picture that tree. Okay, it's so full, right? Leaves everywhere. The sound of the wind going through it. It just gives you so much shade, right? It looks like it's just so full of life. If it bears flowers or fruit, I mean, it's just so full of life and vibrant. Now picture that same tree in the dead of winter. It's barren, not an ounce of leaf on it, right? It looks dead. It looks dead. But is that tree really dead? No. Why? Because it still has the roots in the ground, right? It's still growing. Okay? It may be in more of a restful state because it's not producing fruit or the luscious leaves, but that tree is still growing. And just like our spiritual life, the seasons aren't life and death. They're bloom or rest. Growth is never meant to be taken out of the equation, ever. Now, we all go through stuff. We all have hard seasons. And I admit, in my past, if I'd go through a hard season, I would be one of those people that would go into hiding and just kind of survive, you know? But that's not the right way to do it. You know, it does take more effort in the tough seasons sometimes to grow, but you have to be intentional. Because if you grow in times of rest, then whenever it's time to bloom and give fruit to everyone, you're going to withstand pretty much anything. And if you want to be able to give a healthy seed to someone, if you want to plant healthy seeds in others, then you have to have healthy fruit. And to have healthy fruit, you have to have healthy roots. So how deep are your roots? What are you doing to produce that growth in your daily life, not just your weekly life? Now, here at the River, we are really blessed. Like, I just feel super blessed to be a part of this. There are so many avenues for growth. You know, we really try to, you know, have this environment where it's conducive to growth for anybody, no matter your personality or anything like that. If you look just our Sunday services, you know, at any given Sunday, there could be a different speaker. I mean, obviously. So if somebody didn't speak to you one Sunday, just wait till the next Sunday. Somebody's going to rock your world. And that's great. I love being a part of that. But not just Sundays. We have Wednesdays. We have discipleship classes. We've got smaller groups. We've got these things that you can be a part of so that way you're growing every day. Because that's what we're supposed to do. And if you want to withstand the storms of life, you've got to be growing constantly. We're called to grow. Like, we're called to grow to higher heights, deeper levels. We're called to go from one stage of glory to the next. So that means that would imply, right, that we always should be growing. So stop with the excuses. We got to do better, Christians. Come on. Take responsibility for your growth. Now, some people, you know, they just come Sundays. I just love it. It's so good. It lasts me all week. Good meals are great. We all love a good meal. But how much sustainability can you have if you're only eating once a week? Right? And what are you eating the rest of the week? Probably from pig troughs. Right? What feeds the root feeds the fruit. Now, for our response time today, I'm going to do something a little bit differently. We're going to play a song, and I'm going to invite you to have this like time of reflection or time of soaking, whatever you want to call it. But we're going to look at ourselves. We're going to check our roots. We're going to look at our growth and see how we're doing. All right, so in just a second, I'm going to cue them up to play a song. But while this song is playing, there's a few things I want you to do. I want you to look at yourself now and look at yourself a year ago or whatever time. Let's just say a year. Have you grown in that time spiritually? Have you stayed the same? Have you gone backwards? This is going to be a time, like, we're going to really focus on our growth, okay? So we can learn how to take responsibility and really want that. You know, do you want to grow? Because that's where it starts. Because if you don't want to grow, you're not going to grow. Now, also in this time, I want you to think about the hardest season that you've ever had to go through in your life. And you may be in your hardest season now, but think about if you had to go through the hardest season in your life again, would you handle it differently? Would you still be producing fruit in that season? Good, healthy fruit. Would you still be growing? And I want you to think about those things, and I want you to ask Holy Spirit to show you things. Show you things about your spiritual life, about your spiritual growth, or lack thereof. But you want Holy Spirit to show you things. All right, so go ahead and play that song, okay? Awesome. All right. So, how many of you, Holy Spirit showed you something in your life? That's awesome. Write it down. Take note of it. It's so important that we keep up with those things. When it comes to spiritual growth, there's not really like effective ways to measure spiritual growth, like a set chart, like you would see in like corporate America or things like that. So you have to be really intentional about it, because no one really knows where you are spiritually except for yourself and for God, right? So I just jotted down a few things to help, you know, effective ways to measure growth and to make sure that you're on top of it. And the first one is track your words from God. Keep a record of what Holy Spirit's telling you. I usually take notes in my phone, something like that. But they're so vital, because when you go through a hard season, seasons where you may feel like you don't hear God, you can pull out those words and they will be super encouraging in those moments. And they're promises given to you. And you can lean into that. So that way you can grow. The second thing is be open about your failures. Who are you surrounding yourself with? Like, be open. Have someone in your life that will call you out on your junk. Will call you out when you're messing up. Somebody that you can go to and be like, hey, I messed up. Somebody that you trust. Someone that's going to guide you in the right direction. Hey, you messed up. It happens. This is what we do now. Here, have this. That's what it's about. And the last thing is celebrate your successes. So that goes in the same thing. Who are you surrounding yourself with? Are you going to have somebody that's going to see the potential in you, see the gold in you, and just encourage you to grow no matter what season you're in? Because that's what it's about. That's what it's about. All right, so what feeds the root feeds the fruit. Let's be intentional about our growth, okay? And stop making excuses about it. All right. Thank you.